The income tax has destroyed the concept of financial privacy. It has demolished the idea that a man's home is his castle. It has provided unlimited funding for politicians to wreck the lives and property. It has forced one-earner families to become two-earner households, leading to decreased parental supervision of children, loss of family values, and increased crime, promiscuity, and drug use. So long as the government has the power to invade our lives, rummage through our records, and take what it wants from our income, we will have only as much freedom and take-home pay as the politicians condescend to let us have. First, I have to tell you how the Word of God never ceases to amaze me. It covers every facet of life known to mankind, from how we are to live before our Creator, to how we are to treat each other, and how we are to address every situation that pertains to everyday life, and yes, even taxes. Now, before I get started here, lest one attempts to pervert my words, for the record, I'm not a tax protester. I'm simply just tired of the lack of accountability and reallocation of my tax dollars being spent where I have not delegated my representatives to disperse them. Charlie Reese was a former writer for the Orlando Sentinel in Florida for over 40 years, and when it came to his taking a last stand in confronting the establishment government, he named his last column, 545 people are responsible for the mess, but they unite in a common con. Now, keep in mind, friends, this column was originally published on February 3rd, 1984. He wrote, "Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. Have you ever wondered why, if both the unconstitutional parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, are against deficits? Why do we have deficits? Have you ever wondered why, if all politicians are against inflation and high taxes? Why do we have inflation and high taxes? I'll get to this in just a moment. You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote in appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code. There isn't one, as a matter of fact. The Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. The Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does. 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president and nine unelected, might I remind you, Supreme Court justices, 545 human beings out of 325.7 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. And why? I add, because the American people tolerate it. He goes on, "I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Bank because that problem was created by the Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duty to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. I exclude all of the special interest groups and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one cotton-picking thing. I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or to reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes. Don't you see now the con game that is being played on the people by the politicians? Those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in this common con regardless of party, which again is unconstitutional. What separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of Tip O'Neill, who stood up and criticized Ronald Reagan for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. The Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Section 2, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating appropriations and taxes. O'Neill is the Speaker of the House. He's the leader of the majority party. He and his fellow Democrats, not the president, can approve any budget that they want to.
.com.
If the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto. Just 545 Americans have followed up this great nation with, again,
he said, the choice before us is plain. Christ or chaos, conviction or compromise, discipline or disintegration. I am rather tired of hearing about our rights and privileges as American citizens. The time has come, it now is, when we ought to hear about the duties and responsibilities of our citizenship. America's future depends upon her accepting and demonstrating God's government. Abraham Lincoln was right when he said, in regards to this great book, the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to man. All the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are found portrayed in it.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Dan Pilla from Tax Help Online. He's going to jump online with us. I got some serious questions to be asking him as to how and what we do to stand up against what's going on concerning this taxation without representation. He'll be with us at 2:15 today. That's in about 8 minutes. 8 minutes our time right now. And wanted to let you know, if you want to check us out on social media platforms, please go over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. Top left side of the page, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Subscribe. Also, beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, top left side of that page as well. If you want to call in, please do. 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. That's true, folks. We have the mind of Christ here. Go ahead and check out John 14:6, Acts 4:12. The list goes on. For the sake of time, I want to cover a couple things here because I think it's important for people to understand. The guy, and I'm talking about none other than Mark Zuckerberg. He's a little CIA plant is what he is, who oversees Facebook somehow or another, just decided out of nowhere. And some people are relieved by this, which I'm not. There is a pill in this jam. You can rest assured. Just give it a minute because we're going to see it. It will come to the light, Luke 12:2, and we will see that transpire as when it transpires. So what I'm saying here, folks, is this is brand new. Guy who said Facebook was not suppressing free speech, again, just only proving the point, announces Facebook will stop suppressing free speech. Okay, so what's happening, friends? Let me tell you what's happening. People have caught on to what's going on. They understand the importance of the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, and they also understand tyranny as to what it looks like when it continuously pokes its head out and what it means to rule over a people. What they do is they go after free speech. And it's exactly what's taking place here. Also wanted to show you this, friends. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but this is none other than Representative Thomas Massie, who came out and said that it had been discovered that the Facebook COVID vaccine fact checkers are funded by vaccine companies. That should come as no surprise. But again, you have the fox is watching over the chicken coop, and it's exactly what's been taking place. And then we also have up in front of your faces right now, more than half of peer reviewers for four top medical journals receive payments from drug and medical advice manufacturers totaling $1.6 billion from 20 to 22. And folks, what you need to understand is they censored everybody that would work against the agenda or expose the agenda for what it was. I want to go ahead and play as much as I can of this right now, and it is none other than yours truly, the little useful idiot Mark Zuckerberg. Look what he has to say about Facebook.
I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years. There's been widespread debate about potential harms from online content. Governments and legacy media have pushed to censor more and more. A lot of this is clearly political, but there's also a lot of legitimately bad stuff out there. Drugs, terrorism, child exploitation. These are things that we take very seriously, and I want to make sure that we handle responsibly. So we built a lot of complex systems to moderate content. But the problem with complex systems is they make mistakes. Even if they accidentally censor just 1% of posts, that's millions of people. And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X, starting in the US. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy.
The misinformation campaign was started under Barack Obama in 2013. Government and their agencies were the ones that were responsible for creating misinformation. So, folks, all this smoke and mirrors that he's trying to throw in front of your face, just keep in mind who is responsible for it. I'd also remind you that Mark Zuckerberg, yours truly, was also on the offset of the pandemic that created crisis back in, 2021? He went to all of his employees and told them to be cautious about taking the bioweapon, the experimental jab. So everything that he's telling you right now is basically crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But I do want to make everybody aware of the fact that Zuckerberg, Facebook, or any other entity of government, those that work for us, they never at any time received delegated authority to go ahead and censor lawful Christian speech. But this is what they've done. They can go ahead and use drug dealers, child trafficking, all that other stuff, which is legitimate. But the fact of the matter is that is not what we have been doing over here. We have been holding to the law that exposes the crimes that have been committed against we the people, and we have been holding to the Word of God, which it is premised upon, concerning namely canon law, the Pentateuch, Torah, common law within the United States of America. So there's absolutely no excuse for what's going on here. I suspect what's happening is the water's boiling. They probably have an overload of lawsuits coming their way right now. It's going to be YouTube. It's going to be Twitter. Elon Musk, for those that aren't paying attention, I do want to highlight the fact that Elon's now picking up where Facebook left off. I know that he sold himself as a, just like the rest of them, all-American kind of the guy looking out for our God-given rights. He buys X, all the conservatives go right along with it. They follow him through, only to find out now that he's suspended more, Elon Musk has suspended more accounts three times over than that of Twitter. Again, we need to understand what's at play, friends. I wouldn't be relieved. I don't believe there's any reprieve going on with what's going on here. But I would say, friends, what they're doing is they're telling on themselves for a reason. And I suspect what they're going to do is look for mercy in the courts because they have come clean, they say, saying, well, listen, we made a mistake. We need to come clean. Yep, but there needs to be some sort of punitive damages. There needs to be compensation for the crimes that they've been committed, and they need to be held accountable for violating the First Amendment in the first room. We're going to be right back. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. We have our friend Dan Pillow with us. Again, we'll be right back after this break.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
My family and I began listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio 5 years ago after meeting Bradley Dean and his wonderful family at an event here in Michigan. I was so intrigued with his enthusiasm and passion to share the truth that I decided I must begin listening to the daily feeding to see what these men were actually offering up. Time and time again, all I find is SonsOfLibertyRadio.com and SonsOfLibertyMedia.com are constantly and only pointing to the lawful truths found in our Lord's Word and expounded upon in our Constitution. I have been through some insanely rough and crazy times since becoming a boat-rocking daughter of liberty, and the Sons of Liberty is always there, pointing towards the truth and leading in action. The Heikkila family loves this life-changing ministry, and we cannot say thank you enough.
The world is yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully consecrated unto him, D.L. Moody.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Abolitionist Frederick Douglass stated that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed. It will continue till they are resisted with either words or blows or both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Hey, folks, 281-845-4704. Want to show you something really quick, and then we're going to pull up our friend Dan Pilla from Tax Help Online in just a moment here. This is what we do here at the Sons of Liberty. We see where we have to go. We don't skirt around the issues. We don't jump around what we need to jump around. Nope, what we do is we go right into the center of it. And I told you that we're going to be putting this book out soon enough. And it's going to be on national advertisements. Well, we put it right in the center of Charisma, and it couldn't be in a better place. This is their magazine, and just showing you how we go directly into it. We're called to be the light in a dark place. We're called to be those that reprove the darkness by being the light, Ephesians 5:11. And you'll find us on page 9 right here. So again, for all of you that support the ministry, we want to once again show you the fruit hanging on the branches. It's Children of the Apostate, which is in the center of the Charisma magazine, brand new, and it is out there on national advertisements right now. By the way, you can order that book on sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. And for those that have ordered, we totally appreciate it. Do want to let you know that your orders will go out tomorrow morning. And with that said, friends, You will, according to the USPS, receive them within 3 to 5 days. We say 2 to 3 from coast to coast, from Minnesota all the way down to the southern border in Texas. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and pull up our friend Dan Pilla from Tax Help Online. I called Dan yesterday, a little agitated about what's going on in the country once again. And some of the things have kind of just come up right before me. As a matter of fact, I was looking at a receipt the other day, Dan. And with that, I started noticing that our tax increase statewide is going up little by little. And then also I noticed that small businesses are under attack by another form of taxation. They call it a benefit, I believe. You can go ahead and correct me if I stand wrong. Concerning that, what they need to do to compensate their employees if they are to fall sick. Can you go ahead and explain to people the first issue here concerning what the state of Minnesota is doing by basically usurping the authority of the business owner and then playing the business owner within themselves without the approval? Can I call it usurpation? Because that's exactly what it is of the small businesses in the United States.
Bradley. It's not so much the usurpation of the authority of small businesses. It's an invasion into the financial life of small businesses in order to support another benefit program that the state has created under leftist, under Marxist Governor Walz and the Marxist Minnesota legislature that's been in power here for the last couple of years. We've had a Democrat-controlled state house, a Democrat-controlled state senate, a Democrat in the governor's office. And so this one-party system of Marxists controlling the state have created more and more and more tax programs that they've loaded onto the shoulders of small businesses. And what you're referring to specifically is the Family Leave Act, which creates a...
Listen to this, folks. A welfare program.
Administered by the state for the quote-unquote benefit of workers in this state. And so every business that has employees in the state of Minnesota is now responsible to pay an additional employment tax. That's what it is. It's an additional employment tax, no different than the Social Security tax, the Medicare tax, any of the rest of that stuff that small businesses already pay, the unemployment tax, for example. So now the state of Minnesota has its own employment tax that it has imposed on small businesses for the purposes of providing up to 20 weeks of paid leave for the employees who decide that they don't, that they've got, some issue worthy of not working.
So wait a second, though. So they're assuming authority that was never given unto them by the people because it's never been delegated by us, the people. You can call it invasion. I call it usurpation because what they're doing is assuming authority that's never been given to them by the people. So what they're doing is they're taking over the small businesses, attempting to shut them down because they now have another gun aimed at the business owner, the small business owner that they're trying to get rid of, by the way, telling them you better do this or else. And now they're taking over our employees, or should I say employees for small businesses, by intermingling and telling them what they can do and what they can't do above the heads of the small business owner. Is that right?
Well, there's no question, Bradley, that it's an invasion of the contract relationship between the business owner and the worker. When the worker comes to work, the worker sits down with the business owner and says, I'm willing to provide these services to you in exchange for this compensation. And that negotiation goes back and forth, and the parties come to an agreement that you're going to get paid X in order to do these services. The state steps in and says, no, when you've got, and this burden is on the shoulders of the business owner. And the state says, now when you've got these employees, you're required under state law to pay a tax on their wages equal to X percent in order for us, the state, to provide what amounts to welfare benefits to these employees. And there's no question about the fact, Bradley, that it's an invasion of the contract relationship. There's no doubt about it. But the problem that we have here is not so much the creation of a benefit program. You know, states have, generally speaking, pretty broad latitude, certainly much broader latitude under state constitutions than there is under the United States Constitution. There's just no question about that. The United States Constitution is a very limited delegation of authority from the states to the federal government.
That's right. from the states to the federal government, not the federal government to the states. And that's
that's exactly right.
Yes.
And certainly not the federal government to the citizens. All right. There's just no question about that. But under state constitutions, the police power of the state is generally much broader than it would be under the United States Constitution, because the police power of the state is generally recognized as being fairly broad for the purposes of protecting the life, liberty, and property of its citizens.
Yeah.
And so it becomes
but a that's not what's happening. Yeah, that's
it
not what's happening.
A more difficult question. Let me develop this here for a second.
Yep.
It becomes a more difficult question in defining the limits of state power versus limits of federal power. I believe the definition or defining limits of federal power is relatively simple. But as I said, the state constitutions give the states much broader authority to do these various things. What is really going on here is the state of Minnesota in particular, and I would argue that across the country, states in general, certainly not all of them, but you know, the left-leaning, if not outright leftist states, like California and New York, just for example, Minnesota obviously falls into that category. These states are carrying the Marxist torch, which is designed to abolish small businesses in general, small businesses in particular, but businesses in general. And the Marxist philosophy is designed to abolish the ownership of private property in favor of establishing all ownership and private property in the hands of the state itself. And that's what this is all about. The gradual infringement of economic liberties, whether it be on businesses or individuals, is designed to wrestle that economic resource, property, from the hands of the private sector and put it into the control of the state. That's what they're doing here.
Okay. Well, with that, I think everybody's well aware of the problem, Dan, and what I'm suggesting here is, first of all, the burden of proof falls on them. Where did they derive that authority to go ahead and act out in such a fashion?
The question is whether there's a specific provision in the Minnesota Constitution that prevents this sort of legislation, and I don't think there is, Bradley.
Okay.
So the question then becomes one of the state courts, the district courts, the appeals courts, and eventually the Minnesota Supreme Court to determine whether that constitutes an infringement on the rights of businesses in this state. And unfortunately, I don't think they're going to reach that conclusion. Now, you say the burden of proof is on them. Actually, unfortunately, the burden of proof is on whoever challenges the specific program, whoever challenges the constitutionality of the program, has the burden to show that the program is unconstitutional. And so that, you know, if somebody sues to challenge it, it would be their burden to prove that it violates some specific provision of the Minnesota Constitution.
Well, I mean, we can go across the boards talking about all the other channels that they are usurping authority. By the way, the word usurpation means the act of seizing or occupying. And that's what we see the government doing without delegated authority from the people.
I would add another word to that definition: the act of unlawfully seizing or occupying.
Okay, so that's that. Okay, so what you just got done doing there is explaining to me that they never had the lawful authority to do it in the first place. So why would it be? Why would the burden of proof be on me? When in fact they're the ones taking the initiative to go ahead and tell us it's now lawful because we said so, but yet they have no lawful stance. They have no reference to law to say this is why we did it and this is where we stand, and nobody can challenge that. The burden of proof is on them.
As I said a minute ago, the question is what...
I got to take a hard break, Dan. I'll be right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com, talking with our friend Dan Pilla. From Tax Help Online. Again, we'll be right back in just a moment. The law of the land. The general misconception is that any statute passed by legislators bearing the appearance of law constitutes the law of the land. The U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, Article 6, Section 2. And any statute to be valid must be in agreement. It is impossible for a law which violates the Constitution to be valid. This is succinctly stated as follows. Marbury v. Madison. All laws which are repugnant to the Constitution,
are null and void. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. Miranda versus Arizona. President Theodore Roosevelt was right when he stated that the things that will destroy America are prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, the love of soft living, and the get-rich-quick theory. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
My name is Joe Sparrow, and I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. At first, when I heard Bradley say he was a boat rocker, I thought the comment to be out of place. But by listening regularly to his message, I realized that was really a badge of honor. I support Bradley and his family as they deliver a message of truth.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the sonsoflibertyradio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the sonsoflibertyradio.com and check out our store today. God calls to the Christian churches today. It is to come forth from their hiding place, just as Elijah came forth, and meet the king, declare the ground on which you meet the enemies of God, and meet them in the name of Jesus Christ. John G. Lake. E.M. Bounds was correct when he stated that God's church is a militant host. Its warfare is with unseen forces of evil. God's people, he said, compose an army fighting to establish his kingdom in this earth. Their aim is to destroy the kingdom of Satan and to erect the kingdom of God over its ruins, which is, said E.M. Bounds, righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This militant army is composed of individual soldiers of the cross. The army of God is its defense, and prayer is the added power that crowns it all. Hey, BBS Radio. Hey, BBS Radio. Swing! BBSRadio.com. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Got any questions or comments? Go ahead and throw them down. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Not going after you, Dan, but I do gotta say
that's fine if you do, Bradley.
Okay, let me just
point something out here. Let's just take the standard civil action, all right? A dispute between two parties. And let's say those parties are Dan and Bradley. And let's say the issue is a breach of contract. I've got a contract with you to do specific services, and you're going to pay me X dollars in order to do those services. Now, let's say that you are complaining and saying that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And you file a lawsuit against me in state court for breach of contract. You are the claimant. I am the respondent in this action. The burden of proof is on you. You make the claim that I breached a contract. It's not incumbent upon me to prove a negative that I didn't breached the contract, it's incumbent upon you to prove the affirmative that there is a breach in the contract, right? So when we're talking about actions of state government, all right, those actions are not called into question unless they're called into question. And the way you call them into question is by a lawsuit, somebody, whether it's a citizen lawsuit or legislators or a governor or whoever.
Well, therein lies much of the problem right there is the legislators, because they're not doing their job. I keep hearing you talk about the narrative that the Marxists are setting and the left are setting, and I'm trying to find within the Constitution where that even exists. There's no such thing. This is exactly the problem that we're having in this country, is we're acknowledging a narrative that doesn't constitutionally exist. It doesn't exist.
Well, what you're putting your finger on, Bradley, is the problem of an uneducated electorate. All right, the people who vote for their representatives in this state are voting for Marxists, and they're getting what they want.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't think anybody believes that. I don't think anybody believes that. I mean, HeritageUSA.org just put out all this major voter fraud taking place across the country.
I'm not talking about voter fraud.
Well, you just said they voted him in. But you just said they voted them in.
People going to the polls, voting for Marxists. That's what I'm saying.
You really didn't hear what I just said to you? You didn't extract from what I just said to you? You're suggesting that the people voted this guy in from Nebraska. You're suggesting that the people in the state of Minnesota, 5.9 million people voted in somebody that's going to advocate for 200 to 300% more illegals coming into our state. That's called voter fraud. You talk to the average Joe at the gas station. I don't care if you know him or not. The people aren't voting for this guy. The people that are voting for this guy are those that we get the polls from when we go to the state-run media and find out that they're the ones that nobody believes in the first place, giving us the results of what we allegedly just voted for. I don't believe it, Dan.
I'm not sure what point you're trying to make here, Bradley.
The people aren't voting these guys in, is what I'm telling you.
Remarkably different than voter ignorance, all right? When you got the likes of Tim Walz running around the state promising to spend to raise taxes, to spend more money on this and more money on that, and to create these state programs and to provide these sanctuary cities for these illegal aliens, and the people elect him, how is that voter fraud? That's voter ignorance. That's people who have no idea what the essential function of government is.
Okay, wait. Let me just stop, because I got to get to a couple more questions. You're saying that there's people voting for them. I'm telling you that it's voter fraud, that the mainstream media, they're useful idiots, are throwing numbers at us, suggesting that 5.9 million people voted for these two to come back into office, when in fact, I'm telling you, it's not true. It's not the people voting for them. That's what I'm telling you.
There's not 5.9 million.
Yes, there is. It's exactly what's available. I checked it right before the show.
The entire population of the state of Minnesota, I don't believe, is 5.9 million people. That includes children and incompetents and so on that wouldn't have the right to vote in the first place. So, you know, probably the number of eligible voters in the state of Minnesota, I would guess, is around 4 million. And certainly we never get 100% of eligible voters voting in any election ever.
Yeah. So I'm just suggesting people in the state are not putting neither one of these individuals back into office so they can do more damage to us. Nobody in their right mind would do that. That's all I'm saying.
What I'm saying is the voters in this state are not in their right minds.
Yeah.
Right? They're ignorant. They're ignorant. They're fundamentally fools when it comes to understanding the essential functions of government and the essential operations of liberty.
I agree with that. Absolutely. We're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But I'm just going back to the point that I don't believe that the people in the state of Minnesota, if you have a conversation with the average Joe at a gas station, is going along with what's being done to them. Nobody's going to self-inflict.
In the state of Minnesota, there are four counties out of 87 counties statewide.
Yep.
There are four counties that wag the dog, Bradley.
Yep.
Right? Hennepin County, Ramsey County, St. Louis County, and Blue Earth County in Rochester. Goodhue County, in Rochester. Those counties dictate what happens as far as statewide elections are concerned.
Okay.
Whether it's an election for the governor, whether it's an election for a state, a U.S. senator, etc. All right? When you go out state, when you get out of those four counties, you are exactly correct that the people of this state are not voting for this insanity. But the problem is the people in those four counties outnumber the same people in the other 83 counties around the state. That's just a fact.
Okay, well, I totally disagree. I mean, again, just to go off on Tim Walz, the guy's not even from Minnesota. To go back over to Keith Ellison, you talk even to the legislators, they hate his guts. Literally, the police force hates his guts. They denounce him, but yet somehow or another...
And yet he gets elected.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I just believe we got massive voter fraud going on. I mean, that's like saying, you know what, we only have two people to pick from when it comes to the next president of the United States of America. No, let's just overlook the 1,300 other options that we didn't hear a peep about. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. So let's get over to this next point. Was there anything that you wanted to seal concerning the last question with this new plan that they want to go ahead and unfold so they can attack small businesses again?
It's going to be a money grab. There's no question about it. The state legislature anticipated that it might cost $600 million to run this program. Even before the thing gets started, they've already acknowledged that it's going to be at least 25 or 30% higher than that in terms of cost. And Bradley, there's going to be no end in sight to the cost. And the reason is because of fundamental tax policy being that what you tax, you get less of; what you subsidize, you get more of. So when you tax businesses for having employees, they're going to have fewer employees. And when you subsidize employees to stay home for whatever reason they can come up with, those employees are going to stay home. And that's going to have a significant negative effect on the economic production in this state.
Okay, so let's go to the next question then. I have a friend, his name is Steve Hackbarth. He did an article and he basically titled it, Who is it that owns your home? And he was talking about lands allodial and how that applies to people that have already paid for their homes. And yet somehow or another, this feudal system is set in place where the government somehow believes that it's inerrant when it concerns our God-given rights. And we have to go make an appeal to them concerning the land that we've already paid for. They're renting land back unto us. Will you go ahead and explain that? And then before we get before we run out of time with you, Dan, I want to get to the point too, as well as what do we do to hold them accountable. But let's get over to this allodial tax first and foremost.
Well,
Will you explain the feudal system?
When you talk about allodial titles versus feudal titles, Bradley, you're going back 200, 300, 400 years here now into British land laws and so on. Under an allodial title system, which the state of Minnesota is supposed to operate under, by the way, an allodial title system,
meaning that
once you buy your property and you pay for that property under law as required, then that property essentially cannot be liened. An allodial system establishes a freehold claim on your real estate. All right. A feudal system is a system under which some quote unquote landlord or some type of overlord has an ongoing claim to your property. And when you have a real estate tax assessment where the state or the county can have this ongoing real estate tax lien on your property that essentially never gets extinguished, right? It's only extinguished 1 year at a time. And as soon as you pay your 2023 real estate taxes, the lien for 2024 arises. And as soon as you pay that, the lien for 2025 arises, right? So your property is always subject to a claim by the county for their quote-unquote tax. That's a feudal tax system where you never truly own the property. You buy it from the bank, or you buy it from your neighbor, or you buy it from whomever you buy it from, and you pay the full cost of that property, however that's set at the market rates. You never own that property, because the minute you stop paying your property taxes, that lien becomes enforced against the property and the county can take it and sell it to collect that real estate tax. And that is a violation of an allodial title system, which is what we're supposed to be operating under, Bradley.
Yeah, it's the state of Minnesota Bill of Rights, Section 15, Section 15. And then we can also go over and define the word allodial for you. and that is owned without obligation to another or with superior rights. I think that's what it comes back to the people. By the way, there's better definitions. I checked
out. It's funny that you mentioned that because I haven't thought about this in years. Literally about 20 years ago, I testified before the Minnesota legislature on this very issue and talked about the constitutional requirement for allodial titles and the fact that there's got to be some elimination of the state's capacity to seize and sell that real estate for, you know, you let's say you got a $300,000 piece of property and the unpaid tax is 20 grand. Well, you're telling me they can seize and sell that property for collect 20? Well, the answer is yes, they can't. They can't keep all the money, Bradley, but they can seize and sell the property.
Okay, so I got a hard break coming on me right now. I want to come right back on the other side. Dan, let's go in, and I'm going to hold you to this. The people need the answers how to put a stop to this. And that's what we're going to talk about. Okay.
Hi there. I'm Ken Crowe, conservativedailybriefing.com. I just want to tell you, I have listened to some of the greatest speakers in American history. I have never in my life heard a more powerful message from a more patriotic person. Bradley Dean is the epitome of liberty, freedom, and patriotism. If you feel like you need a shot of good old-fashioned patriotism today, get out and hear Bradley Dean. You won't hear a better speaker.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste your time with fluff. Here's a real 48-page printed newspaper that is not fair and balanced as defined by the mainstream media. Instead, we tell you the truth you need to know. Check us out and email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
My name is Joe Sparrow, and I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. At first, when I heard Bradley say he was a boat rocker, I thought the comment to be out of place. But by listening regularly to his message, I realized that was really a badge of honor. I support Bradley and his family as they deliver a message of truth.
BBSradio.com.
That's good. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. We're talking to Dan Pilla from Tax Help Online. Tax Help Online. Dan's like a big brother to me, folks. He really honestly is. And I trust Dan. I differ from Dan concerning what we're talking about right now, but that's okay. We're having a sword fight in part right now, but I think the bottom line is we're both looking for the answers. And, you know, I just asked everybody online, Dan, if you got any questions or comments. And one of my friends said, I think she's out of the down south the Atlanta area. She had asked the question, you know, I'm just wondering when we're going to have pitchforks and, you know, basically torches and go and deal with these people concerning the crimes that they're committing against we the people. And one of the things that I constantly want to do on the show is give people constitutional answers, lawful answers to the issues that we deal with. And I got to be quite honest with you, I'm really frustrated with what I'm seeing across the boards when we have our said representatives taxing us without permission from the people. And, you know, one of the things I was going to say too, Dan, is, you know, when, if you get pulled over by a police officer, the first thing he has to do is make reference to the law. Now we live in a system concerning the crime. And now what we do is we live in a system where we're guilty until proven innocent. And that is completely backwards concerning where we're at in this country. You know,
that certainly is the case when we're talking about administrative actions. It's not the case when we're talking about a criminal act. Somebody accuses you of knocking off a liquor store. You know, there's the burden of proof that you don't have to prove you didn't do it. They have to prove you did. But when we're talking about administrative actions, that you didn't file this paperwork or you filed this paperwork incorrectly, you're right. The burden of proof is on you. And that's the problem with the IRS. There's just no doubt about it. And I couldn't agree with you more. The pitchforks and the garden hose and the torches are not the answer. That's not going to fix anything. All that's going to do is land you in jail for terroristic actions or terroristic threats or some things such as that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be taking action. The first thing we've got to do, Bradley, is we've got to educate our citizens on what is going on. First of all, what their fundamental rights are, what the Constitution says, what it means, and how it works. All right. We have a profound level of ignorance about how our system of government operates because the leftists have managed to hijack the education system. You know that as well as I do.
Let me stop you right there, though, because you got the gift of gab just like I do, but I do want to interact right here. Who are the leftists that you keep referring to? I want to know who they are.
Well, do you want names or do you want...
No, because it doesn't... What I'm saying, it doesn't constitutionally exist. It doesn't. I mean, if the right was doing the right thing, there wouldn't be a left.
Wait a minute now. You're confusing the issue. It doesn't constitutionally exist. I don't know what that means. The Constitution of the state of Minnesota is a set of rules and procedures by which the state is supposed to operate. There is no philosophy that's outlawed under the Constitution. There's no religion that's outlawed under the Constitution. There's no thought process that's outlawed under the Constitution. A leftist or a Marxist, but more accurately, a Marxist is a person who believes that all of the functions of an economic system, the three essential functions of an economic system, production, distribution, and exchange, those are the three essential elements, must be controlled, owned, and controlled by the state. That's what a Marxist is.
Yes.
Now, I will agree that there's no constitutional authority to do that.
Yep.
Bradley,
but you're not giving me time to really... I think we have a fundamental problem here. There is no such thing as a leftist. I mean, that's not true. It is true. The bottom line is there's no such thing as a Republican Party, a Democratic Party.
That's not true either.
Yes, it is. Show me otherwise. Article 4, Section 4 of the...
Show me where the Constitution of the state of Minnesota or the U.S. Constitution outlaws political parties.
Show me where it acknowledges political parties.
It doesn't have to acknowledge.
Yes, it does. I'm absolutely 100% sure our rights come from God. We're ruled by His.
We're not talking about rights.
Wait a second. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. This is the problem we're having.
The creation is not the creation of a political party, the exercise of my right to association.
You don't have a right to violate law. Charles D. Montesquieu, it says it right in the Capitol, Dan. It says it right in the Capitol. Charles D. Montesquieu says liberty is the right to do what the law permits. They don't have a right to do that which is unlawful. You know what? You don't want the pupil teaching the teacher is what you don't want. And that's what bothers me. That's why we don't have answers, because we keep going back to this political language that's been created to do what? To make lies sound truthful. What you're talking about concerning your right and your left narrative, I've even taken attorneys to task, and they sat there daft like they couldn't answer what I was telling them. It doesn't exist, Dan. Matter of fact, John Adams called it the greatest evil under the Constitution. You're trying to justify something that doesn't exist. It's something to hide behind. And when I said earlier that if the right was doing the right thing all the time, there wouldn't be a left. There is no left. You look foolish right now.
You're just wrong about that. There's a political spectrum.
There is not.
Other kind of spectrum.
Absolutely. You do not have a right to do what is unlawful. It's unconstitutional. It is null and void. We do not have a right to do that which is unlawful.
You have every right to associate with like-minded people, to create an organization.
To upend our constitution by creating policies that...
Educational goals.
This is the problem. This is the problem we're having right now. You are incorrect 100%. You do not have a right to create a communist party to upend who we are through policy, undermining constitutional law, because that's what you keep premising your conversations on. They don't exist. No more than the IRS is supposed to exist, by the way. Come on, you know that's true, Dan. But you don't have a lawful leg to stand on. Here, let me give you one, and we'll hold over. We can hold over as long as we possibly
can. Unfortunately, Bradley, I can't hold over.
Okay, so I want you to hear this.
I got to be out at 3 o'clock.
There is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the Republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader in concerning measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under the Constitution. The second president of the United States of America. It's a system that's been set up to divide and conquer the people, and the Lord told us to beware of it in Mark 3:25, as well as Mark 8:15.
I don't deny the fact that political parties are divisive. There's no question about that. I'm saying that you have a fundamental right to associate with like-minded people for the purposes of pursuing the achievement of certain goals. Now, what the Constitution of the state of Minnesota provides and the United States Constitution provides is that the citizens of the states and the citizens of the United States are entitled to a Republican form of government.
That's right. That's what I said. That's right.
That is undeniable.
Yes.
All right. Now, for me to create a political party called the Freedom Party, for example.
How about the Muslim Party? Is that justifiable? Is that legit?
Say again.
The Muslim Caucus, is that legit in the United States of America?
The association of Muslims into a body politic is lawful. The creation of Sharia law in the United States is illegal under the Constitution.
Okay, well, it kind of gave me a message that contradicted itself, because we all know that it runs antithetical to the U.S. Constitution.
People can associate themselves in any way they want to for the purposes of propagating certain ideas.
But it can't. It can't counter.
We're talking about a political system, Bradley, yes. Not political parties.
But they all put their hand on the Bible, swearing to uphold his law, not the lawlessness of their party that they create. They are obligated to uphold his law. You see it all over the Capitol in Minnesota, all over the United States, all over.
Of course.
You can't run anything that runs against his law, because therein ends our freedoms. And that's what we're talking about right now.
Bradley, I understand that. I get that. You asked me how we fix the system. I started talking about education, all right? We got it.
But you're going back to the system that created the problem in the first place. That's what I'm having a problem with.
I didn't go back to that system. I talked about educating people on what their rights are, educating people on what our system of government is, what a Republican form of government is versus a democracy, versus a theocracy, versus a monarchy, versus all these various
we all operate theoretically. I mean, we just do. You're a government. Either you're ruled by God or you're ruled by a tyrant. It's one or the other. There is no in-betweenites. And this is the nail that I keep pounding on is just this. It's like, fundamentally, we have a problem because we keep talking like that of the mainstream media's useful idiots that is setting a narrative that's what? Driving an un-American narrative. And then we listen to the conservatives of the day, which we call the yesterday's liberals, Matthew 5:13 here, that are talking the same language that the ones that are trying to confuse us and divide us are setting forth. And we got to get away from that. Either we're going to get back to the Constitution and fight for our God-given rights, 1 Timothy 6:12, else we're going to lose it all. And we're losing it all. And that's the problem we're having. And you said what's going on right now is this taxation. And just hang on a second. This is just the end of the show. Love you by what we do. We'll talk to you in 23. 1 John 3:18.
Okay, we're not going anywhere, folks. Just hold up. Dan, when you got to go?
I can give you 5 more minutes.
Okay, cool. I'm going back to the point that we're not getting any resolve in this country because we keep talking the same language that we're taught by those that are making the populace ignorant in the first place. When we listen to today's conservatives, what are they doing? They're continuously parroting the narrative that the CIA, Mockingbird Media, has told them as they read off the teleprompter every single minute of the day. It's not journalism anymore. When is the last time you heard a conservative of the day make reference to the Constitution to bring about resolve concerning the issues that we have today? Yet they're taught to continuously divide the people by saying, look what the left has done. Look what the left has done. I want to say this, and I'm going to give it back to you, Dan. Edmund Burke said, evil prevails because good men do nothing. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. Because good men do not allow evil to prevail. And the fact of the matter is, we call ourselves the good. We call ourselves the educators. Well, the law of truth is supposed to be in our mouth. And if we're going to do that, then we better hold to our founding documents. Because they're there to give us resolve.
Well, of course that's true. I agree with that. What does it take to turn this around? It takes education. All right, those folks that would undermine our system of government, those folks that would torpedo the system of government that we have, the Republican form of government based on the law that our Creator set forth in His Word, that is being undermined through counter education.
That's right.
Miseducation.
That's right.
We've got to return our schools let me rephrase that and say the public schools are gone, right? They're just lost. We've got to get our children out of those public schools. They've got to be homeschooled, or they've got to be schooled in environments where the Creator's law is prime. That's what's Amen. Being taught. Our system of government that's based on our Creator's rules of social order are being taught on a regular basis, so they understand yep. what creates prosperity.
But I'm talking to the bulldog.
Action.
Okay, I'm talking to Dan Pilla here. You are the tax guy. You are the one that set the national precedent that you were going to take it to them if they were going to do something wrong. And now I'm talking about the IRS. I have you on this show because I want you to use me, if need be, to stand up against what's going on with this tax system that's aimed at small businesses, because I see too many people complaining about what, in many cases, they're not tolerating, but they can't afford to get an attorney to stand up against the lawlessness of the state, Dan.
On that of course, that is the problem, Bradley, and that's what they rely on. As they pass these laws, they create these rules and these burdens that people can't afford to challenge. That is a fundamental usurpation. There you go, usurpation of the rights of the people. There's no doubt about that. And it's diabolical. I'm not saying it's
not
diabolical.
What do we do? What do we do, Dan? What can me and you do to take it to the IRS concerning what they're doing to little businesses right now?
Education.
Okay.
Action and evangelism. And when I'm talking about evangelism, I'm talking about it's one thing to educate yourself. It's another thing to educate your neighbor, right?
Right.
So I'm talking about educating. I'm talking about educating yourself and your kids. When I'm talking about action, I'm talking about taking legal action to the extent that you can to challenge these things.
What do we do? What do me and you do concerning what we talked about, the allodial tax and this new tax that they're throwing on small businesses? What can me and Dan Pilla, the guy again, my big brother here, that is known all over the country for taking it to them, what do we do to stand up against the lawlessness that they mean to throw on the American people, namely the small businesses in our own backyard? What can we do?
There are legal organizations all across the country, Bradley, that are designed to fight the constitutional war on behalf of individual citizens. All right, there's all kinds of legal groups out there that are available that you can give money to, you can give time to, you can give resources to, whatever they look like, to help support the legal action of those organizations. So when I talk about education, I'm talking about educating yourself. When I'm talking about action, I'm talking about taking legal action on your own or supporting others who do take legal action. And when I'm talking about evangelism, I'm talking about teaching. Once you understand these things, teaching them to your neighbors, just like you do on this radio program all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So that's I have you for two minutes.
What
we should be doing.
Yeah, I have you for 2 minutes, but I'm going to go back to it. What do me and you do, Dan, to deal with them as to what they're trying to do with small businesses? How do we take them to task? Because in many cases, and I've had judges on the show, they don't even know the law. They're running off of administrative law. They're going off of whatever the Supreme Court says, when in fact the Constitution says something completely in stark contrast. What can me and you do to make a difference here? And I mean it with my whole heart.
Well, I know you do, and the answer is we have got to put pressure on business organizations across the state. All right, there's chambers of commerce, there's small business associations, there's all kinds of these groups around the state that have the ear of legislators, that have the force of numbers behind them to put pressure on the legislation. One of the lies that Tim Walz told the national audience while he was running for vice president was that this program that they created in Minnesota was supported by small business organizations across the state. That was an absolute lie. The small business organizations across the state did not support that Family Leave Act. They were against the Family Leave Act. And so if individuals can help support these organizations that have the tools and the equipment to put the pressure on the legislature to unravel this stuff or to file court actions to unravel this stuff, that's what guys like you and I can do. Now, you got your platform with your camera. I've got my platform with my legal cases that I'm running against the IRS all the time.
Yep.
And I'm doing what I can do. You can do what you can do. But a lot of people out there can't do what you and I do, Bradley, but they can find these small business organizations and support them. Support them with your time, your talent, and your treasure so that they can wage the legal wars with the legislature and in the courts.
You're Italian.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, Guy, do I need to tell you anything as to what's going on? Maybe in my bloodline somewhere I'm Italian, because it seems to be my fire's lit on this topic, and I am tired of seeing the little guys getting beat down. I am sick and tired of it, and I'm sick and tired of the politicians lying. I want to say this, and I'll give you the last word, Dan. I know you have to go, but don't go anywhere, folks. We're still going to talk. I'm going to take these phone calls. Dan, I have the ear of the senators. I've met with the senators, Bruce Anderson, Eric Lucero. I've met with Representatives Walter Hudson and several others throughout the state. And what I continuously run up against is the fact that they all know what the problem is, and yet they fail to do anything to address the problem. And it's not just been those that I've named, and I'm not saying it to discredit them. I think that they're doing a pretty good job of doing that for themselves.
They're doing the best they can, Brad.
Well, no. What I'm saying is action speaks louder than words, and they're not giving us the action. They're just giving us the words, and we need action.
Here's what the problem is. This is just me talking now, all right? This is just my opinion. I believe that these limited number of legislators that tend to agree with you, tend to agree with me, they are afraid to step up for fear of being skewered in the media because the majority of voters in the state of Minnesota are voting for these, excuse the expression, these Marxist policies that would transform the nature of government, because these voters are ignorant about how our system of government works and how our economic system works. They want the government to take control of everything.
Yes,
so these
some of them, yep.
Vote for legislators that promise to do that.
Yeah. Dan, how do people get a hold of you, Guy?
TaxHelpOnline.com. Just check out my website, TaxHelpOnline.com.
And what's your phone number?
Phone number is 1-800-346-6829. 1-800-346-6829. TaxHelpOnline.com. Buy any book off my website at any price point and get a free 15-minute consultation directly and personally with me. TaxHelpOnline.com.
We'll do this again. Totally appreciate you, man. Okay, Guy.
Look forward to it.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
Bye.
Folks, I'm going to go ahead and take some of these phone calls real quick. And I just lost one, but I got Bob calling in from Texas. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I've got the solution. Monday night, I got Ken Paxton, the best attorney general in the nation, to sign my Blackstone Law book for a book club. He said he wants to do it when he has more time. But right after that, I got one of our newest representatives, a guy named Brent Money, if you can believe it, to sign up. And he wants to do a book club on Blackstone. I've been digesting this today, and I took a lot of notes in grad school. I'm taking more notes on this Blackstone than anything I could ever imagine. And it's not up to those we elect. It's up to we, the people, to know the Constitution. And there's no better way to know the Constitution than to know the law that Blackstone wrote, that our founders quoted more than anybody.
Yep.
And that's the essence of the solution.
Yep.
So since you've got such a good voice and I've got so much persistence, maybe you can run the book club. You can do something else on a Sunday.
Okay, well, hey, Bob, if you want to call in, we can talk about what you have as opportunities. Maybe we can throw some of the stuff up online as well, because we got quite a few people going over there on a daily basis. I wanted to high-five what you just said concerning William Blackstone. As a matter of fact, it was a Great Awakening preacher, one of them, Charles Finney. Pros and cons with Charles Finney, but the point was he did a lot of good things. I believe he was a saved individual. He got saved from reading William Blackstone's book. And I think people need to understand that Blackstone, he was a part of common law along with John Locke and Charles D. Montesquieu. They established what we have premised on God's moral law. He said human laws are invalid if they contradict the law of nature and the law of revelation. That's what you find when you read the Declaration of Independence. He further goes on and says that if it doesn't concur or align itself with God's moral law, it's null and void. And this is one of the conversations that I was just trying to have with Dan. Listen, God is the giver of law. The party systems, unconstitutional party systems, are not. And they have no business running in contrast or running antithetical or assailing God's moral law. And we see that happening all day long through the sodomite agenda. Now they have something called the transgenders. Now they're trying to normalize themselves in the face of the people by acting as pedophiles. And I'm talking about governors saying, we can steal your kids if your little boy wants to be a girl. That is absolutely an abomination in the sight of God. And nobody has a right to do the wrong thing, in any sense of the word. So with that said, Bob, if you want to give me a call, let's go ahead and pick up from there. I totally appreciate your phone call. I did want to highlight one more thing. Again, thank you for the call. I wanted to show you just, again, what we do here, and we do it all the time. Folks, I have billboards up in the state of Minnesota. If you're going to censor me, this is what we're going to do. It reminds me of Exodus 1:10, where it talks about how the children of Israel were afflicted. The Bible tells us the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied. In other words, let their cruelty swell our ranks. That's exactly what we're doing here, friends. Enough is enough. We're not going to have a bunch of, what do you want to call it? I use the word scoundrels quite a bit, but a bunch of outlaws telling us what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And if we want to go into your bank account and steal your money because we said so, I got a serious, serious problem with all of this, friends, because they're using that money against us, and we all know this. Enough of this nonsense. Okay, we see that they're acting out in a criminal fashion. They're transgressing God's law that they swore that they would uphold concerning their oath. Ecclesiastes 5:4, Numbers 30, verse 2, Deuteronomy 23:23. They're to be held accountable concerning their oath because there's a higher standard and condemnation when they violate law. And I don't think people understand that. They can be removed for the smallest of misdemeanors. Okay, Article 2, Section 4, and they're to be prosecuted for even the smallest of misdemeanors, Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7. But I want to go back to this and just let you know, folks, promise kept, again, for those that support the ministry, this is in Charisma Magazine. We couldn't be in a better spot because this is right in the heart of what we preach out against. We just put our brand new article or advertisement there. It's called Children of the Apostate, which you can find on sonsoflibertymedia.com, along with All the Prophets Were Pointing and Soldiers of the Cross. Folks, I'm spending much time right now in the book of Jeremiah, forgive me. I just read, I'm guessing, 9 chapters of Jeremiah over the last 2 days. And I'm telling you what, that's the voice, that's the direction that I'm walking here. And again, what I'm equating to that too is when you read Jeremiah 23:22, it says, unless the words that are given by his people turn them back unto the Lord, it's not the Lord. And I'm just going to go over there for you really quick so you can get this before we end the show today. And what does it say? It says, but if they had stood in my counsel, saith the Lord, they would have proclaimed my words to my people. This is exactly what we're seeing in America today. The opposite is what is being preached is completely in contrast. It contradicts the word of God. But the Lord said, if it was my servant that was sent to speak my words to turn my people back unto me and from their evil ways, that's how you know who my servant is. And you can put that up against Malachi 2:6 as well. Okay? I put myself and I put our advertisements right in the center of those that are preaching a modern day gospel that is completely heretical in so many different ways, where they're saying peace, peace, friends, when there is no peace. This country is in trouble. They're setting themselves up for another fall because they're putting their trust in a man, the arm of the flesh, and they're sure to reap a curse. If Americans would simply learn from history, we wouldn't have to learn the hard way concerning ill history. We want to learn the history where the Lord says, go back to the old past and we take heed to it and we set his way that we might know peace. But what does the Lord say in contradiction to that, friends, or in contrast to that? He said, my people know not the judgment of the Lord. The way that you put a stop to what's going on in this country is when you bring judgment upon the heads of corruption in the halls of government and on the heads of the corrupt that are being used in the mainstream media, Mockingbird media, the CIA-controlled media, with the use of their useful idiots, friends. When the people want to stand up and put a stop to it, that's how you do it. You bring lawful judgment to the guilty party. That's how you do it. We love you by what we do. We'll see you in 23 hours. 1 John 3:18.